Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, for over a decade, Qalam has had the opportunity and the blessing to serve the community. And after serving the community for an entire decade and benefiting millions of people all around the world, we have reaffirmed our commitment to making Islamic knowledge accessible for all, making sure each and every single person, no matter where they are in the world, they have the ability and the opportunity to learn about the beauty of Islam. So therefore, we are conducting more classes online than ever before, videos, podcasts, recordings. We're making all of it available. We ask you to support us and become our partner in this mission and cause of educating the whole world about the beautiful religion of Islam by going to supportqalam.com. Go to supportqalam.com, make a generous contribution. Inshallah, you are investing into the mission and the cause of teaching people about Islam worldwide. Millions of people have benefited, and we hope that hundreds of millions more will benefit, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillahi walhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome back to another session of Tafsir al-Quran, where we go through and study the meaning of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, today we'll be continuing with Surah al-Baqarah, of course. And inshallah, the ayat, the verses that we aim to cover today are verses 130, 131, and 132. So inshallah, those are the three verses that we aspire to cover in today's session. As always, inshallah, I'm going to begin with the recitation of the verses that we're going to be studying, inshallah. After that, I will read from a translation of the Quran so that we have a summary, a summarized understanding of the meaning of the verses. And then, inshallah, we'll go further into the discussion where we focus on the lessons, reflections, the wisdom that we can derive from these verses, inshallah, binillah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن يرغب عن ملة إبراهيم إلا من سفه نفسه ولقد اصطفيناه في الدنيا وإنه في الآخرة لمن الصالحين إذ قال له ربه أسلم قال أسلمت لرب العالمين ووصى بها إبراهيم بنيه ويعقوب يا بني إن الله اصطفى لكم الدين فلا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. The translation of the verses that we just recited, verse number 130, the translator writes, "Who but a fool would forsake the religion of Abraham? We have chosen him in this world, and he will rank amongst the righteous in the hereafter." Verse number 131, "His Lord said to him, devote yourself to me. Abraham replied, I devote myself to the Lord of the universe. Verse 132, and commanded his sons to do the same, as did Jacob. My sons, God has chosen your religion for you, so make sure you devote yourselves to him till your dying moment." So, as I mentioned previously, we're studying verses 130 through 132. And as we always do here in these sessions, I like to start by addressing any circumstances of revelation, anything that might have been going on at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when these verses were revealed, and also talking about how this fits into the greater context of the verses that we have been studying. So when it comes to the circumstance of revelation, there is an incident that is mentioned by some of the scholars of Tafsir. Ibn Kathir, Qurtubi, and others have mentioned this, that Abdullah bin Salam, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was originally a member and in fact a leader of the Jewish community in Medina before the arrival of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived, it's a very famous incident, he accepted Islam. He went to go hear the public address of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Afshu salam wa at'imu at'am wa silu al-arham wa sallu bil-layli wan nasu niyam tadkhulu al-jannata bi salam." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that spread peace, or that can also be translated as spread greetings amongst one another, feed food to one another, keep good family relations and strengthen the bonds of family. And lastly, the Prophet ﷺ said, pray at night while all of humanity is asleep, تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٍ, and you shall all enter paradise safe and sound. So he had attended this public address of the Prophet ﷺ, and when he heard this, he very famously says that, I recognized from his face that he is not a liar. عَلَفْتُ بِوَجْهِهِ بِأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِكَاذِبٍ. I recognize from his face that he is not a liar. He is not lying. He is telling the truth. And he is someone who speaks the truth. And he ended up accepting Islam. So this individual, companion of the Prophet ﷺ who accepted Islam, he had two nephews that were very close to him, that were very near and dear to him. One's name was Salama and the other's name was Muhajir. So he called both of them to Islam. He invited both of them to Islam. He gave them da'wah. He presented the message of Islam to them and encouraged them to embrace and accept Islam. So he said to them, to be more specific, قَدْ عَلِمْتُمَا أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَىٰ قَالَ فِي التَّوْرَاتِ إِنِّي بَاعِثٌ مِنْ وَلْدِ إِسْمَعِيلَ نَبِيًّا إِسْمُهُ أَحْمَدٍ فَمَنْ آمَنَ بِهِ فَقَدْ إِهْتَدَىٰ وَرَشَدَىٰ وَمَنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِهِ فَهُوَ مَلْعُونٌ. That whoever follows, believes in this Prophet, you know that he was foretold of, and so whoever believes in him and follows him is on the truth and on guidance and upon righteousness. And whoever rejects him, does not believe in him, then that person is cursed by God. So one of his nephews, Salama, he ended up accepting Islam. The other one, Muhajir, he did not accept Islam. He refused the da'wah from his uncle. And so then this verse was revealed where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, who can be more foolish than the one who turns away from the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam and from the religion in the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So that's kind of the backstory here. Overall, of course, we understand the context that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the establishment of the Kaaba in Mecca and talked about the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the dua and the supplication of Ibrahim and how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is from the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself said, that I am the answer to the prayer of my forefather Abraham. So subsequently, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about that legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam and how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Muslims are the ones who are actually adhering to the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and they are honoring that tradition of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and how many of these people who were opposing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam and trying to refute the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, the Jewish tribes, the Christian tribes, how they actually are out of line with the legacy and the message of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now says, we're going to go through the verses, make sure that we are able to understand and appreciate all the words of the verses and the language used herein. And then, of course, as always, we'll talk about some of the lessons that we can derive from here, insha'Allah. So Allah says, وَمَنْ who is or who can be يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ. The word رَغْبَ expresses in the Arabic language, it expresses someone having strong feelings, someone having strong feelings about something. Now, then you use a preposition in classical Arabic. So if you use the preposition fi, which means in, then that means someone is very interested in something. أَرَغْبَةُ فِي. Someone is interested in something, all right? They're invested into something. And if you use the preposition an, from, like away from, then it refers to someone turning away from something, becoming disinterested in something. So Allah says, وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَنْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. The word milla here represents, we've talked about it previously as well, it refers to the religion, the way, the legacy, the belief of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the person who becomes disinterested, who turns away from the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, who would do that? Illa, except safiha nafsahu. Now the word safiha comes from the word like safih, which means to be foolish. It's also used in the meaning of ignorance. It also refers to ignorance. The root of the word asu safi al-khiffatu. It means to be not very well grounded or well founded. And from that, that's exactly where you get the idea from of calling someone foolish, that someone is not very well educated. They're not thinking very properly. Whatever they're doing is not very well thought out. And there's in fact a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that says, Al-kibr, arrogance, conceit, is what? أَن تُسَفِّهَ الْحَقَّ. That you take the truth lightly. You take the truth lightly. وَتَغْمِصَ النَّاسَ. And that you put people down, you look down on people. Alright, so the word safiha can refer here to ignorance. Safiha nafsahu would mean that somebody has imposed ignorance upon themselves. They're refusing to open their mind. They're refusing to really see what's in front of them, to listen to what's around them. They're refusing to open their mind and open their hearts to the truth. They're not taking the opportunities of learning seriously. Safiha nafsahu, so somebody is making a fool out of themselves. All right. It can also mean ignorance. Somebody is imposing ignorance upon themselves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, who would abandon, turn away from, be disinterested, be uninterested in the religion of Abraham, except for somebody who is deluding themselves, fooling themselves, and is basically living a life of ignorance, that only a fool would do so. And so to put it into different words, basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying only a fool, because we have this principle in Arabic grammar that a nephew, right, to talk about, you know, like posing a question or negating a statement followed by then making an exception is a way and a method of creating exclusivity in meaning. So what I mean by that, what that means is that Only a fool would be uninterested in the way, the religion, the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدِ اصْطَفَيْنَاكُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. وَلَقَدِ اصْطَفَيْنَاكُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. Allah is now talking about Ibrahim alayhi salam, saying, and indeed, undoubtedly, for certain, we chose him in the life of this world. We chose him, selected him, and gave him great virtue, great honor, great distinction in this world, meaning we made him a messenger and a prophet. وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And he is will be from amongst the righteous. He will be in the ranks of the most righteous in the life of the hereafter. And he will be from amongst the ranks of the most righteous in the life of the hereafter. In verse number 131, Allah says, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ. That remember, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing our attention to something that occurred previously in history. Remember, when his Lord said to him, submit, aslim. This is the verb from the word Islam. Submit, submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. He said that indeed I have submitted to the Lord of the worlds. وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِهِ. And it did not stop there with him. Wassa means to bequest something. To make a, like to write something into your will, wasiya. And it's used in the meaning of impressing the importance and the significance of something upon someone. Like we say oftentimes to someone, if you tell them a number of things, you say, if you remember nothing else, remember this one thing. Right? Never ever forget this one thing. So the most emphasis he placed upon, out of all the things he taught to his children and gave to his children, the thing that he placed the greatest emphasis upon was this same thing. Submit to your Lord. Live a life of devotion and obedience and humility before Allah. وَيَعْقُوبُ. And Jacob, the grandson of Ibrahim alayhi salam, also did the same thing to show that this was a tradition that continued on from there. Ya Bunayya, and he goes on to say that, O my children, Inna Allah astafa lakum ad-deena, that indeed God has chosen for you this religion. Ya Bunayya, O my children, O my offspring, Inna Allah astafa lakum ad-deena, that indeed God has chosen for you the religion. Which religion? Islam. We're talking about Islam because he said aslim. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ. So do not die illa, except that وَأَنْتُمْ, that you are muslimun, submitted to Allah. Do not die except that you are submitted to Allah. What does that mean? That is an expression in the Arabic language. Like for instance, if you were to say to someone, لَا تُصَلِّ إِلَّا خَشِعًا. Do not pray except with khushu'. That doesn't mean you're telling someone not to pray. What you're saying is that make sure you pray with khushu'. Be mindful of praying without khushu'. So similarly, saying لَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ means that always remain in a state of submission to your Lord, so that when death comes to you, you may leave this world and you may depart this world and die in a state of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a Muslim. Okay, so that is the breakdown of the words that are present here, the language of the ayat, as we always like to do. Now let's go into some of the lessons that we can derive from here. The first thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that who is more foolish than the one who turns away from and deprives themselves from and of the legacy, the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And interestingly, Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, jahila nafsahu wa khasira nafsahu. Turning away from the deen and the religion is the greatest form of ignorance, and it is the greatest form of self-sabotage. Self-sabotage. Right, we oftentimes talk about ignorance and foolishness and, you know, harming oneself and sabotaging oneself. And there's definitely a lot of different ways that people do that. But the greatest and the most tragic form of that is to actually deprive yourself of the proper religion and to keep yourself ignorant of the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the guidance from God. Abu Ubaidah, another one of the scholars and the authorities of tafsir, he says, أَهْلَكَ نَفْسَهُ وَأَوْبَقَهَا. All right? That someone who turns away from the religion and deprives themselves of the religion and the understanding of the religion is someone who has destroyed themselves and doomed themselves. So there is nothing more wrong and more foolish than doing so. And it specifically calls it and identifies it as a legacy of Ibrahim, the religion of Ibrahim. Why? Why is that? Okay? Well, because the religion, it's the religion that all the prophets were sent with, including the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But why specifically identify with Ibrahim alaihi salam? So there's a few things. Number one, obviously what we talked about previously, that the foundation, so much of the foundation was laid by Ibrahim alaihi salam. So much of the foundation was laid by Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Kaaba was founded by Ibrahim alayhi salam. The foundations of the Kaaba were raised. يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ. The foundations were raised by Ibrahim alayhi salam. Secondly, there's great wisdom in this, as we talked about it previously as well, because the Jews, they recognize Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Christians, they recognize Ibrahim alayhi salam. And even the mushrikun of Mecca, even the idol worshippers of Mecca, they recognized the virtue of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Even they recognized the virtue of Ibrahim alayhi salam and held him in high esteem. So by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam's message, the message of the Quran, being connected to Ibrahim alayhi salam, it is to bring them closer and to show them that if you truly, actually honor the legacy of Ibrahim, if you truly follow the teachings of Ibrahim alayhi salam, then the Quran, the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why would you not embrace these things? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this is something that is constantly emphasized throughout the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nahl, Surah number 16, ayahs 122 through 122, إِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ كَانَ أُمَّةً قَانِتًا لِلَّهِ حَنِيفًا. That indeed Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was an ummah in and of himself. He was a profound leader. قَانِتًا لِلَّهِ. And he was very, very devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حَنِيفًا. And he was focused solely and only on the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَمْ يَكُ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And he was not from those who associate partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. شَاكِرًا لِأَنْعُمِ. He was very grateful for the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اِجْتَبَاهُ وَهَدَاهُ إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. That Allah chose him and guided him to the straight path. وَآتَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا. And we granted to him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the life of this world, you know, beautiful things and excellence. وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And just like we saw here, that in the life of the hereafter, he is indeed amongst the righteous servants of God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah number 3, Surah Ali Imran, verse number 67, مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا. That Abraham was not a Jew nor a Christian. وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. But rather he was a worshipper of one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, submitted to the will of God. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And he was not from those who associate partners to Allah. إِنَّ أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِإِبْرَاهِيمَ لَلَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ. That indeed, the ones who are closest in affiliation to Ibrahim alayhi salam are those who follow him. وَهَذَا النَّبِيُّ. And this prophet, this messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, very specifically, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And those who believe and follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahu waliyul mu'mineen. And Allah is the ally of the true believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another place in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ankabut, In Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Surah number 29, ayah number 27, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ. Excuse me, not Surah number 29, I'm misquoting the Surah number. But nonetheless, وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ, that we gifted to him, to Ibrahim, Isaac, his son Ishaq, and Ya'qub, Jacob, as a grandson. وَجَعَلْنَا فِي ذُرِّيَّتِهِ النُّبُوَّةَ وَالْكِتَابَ, and we granted to him amongst his progeny prophets, prophethood, and revelation. وَآتَيْنَاهُ أَجْرَهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا, and we rewarded him with great noble things in the life of this world. وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. You see this constant theme, and in the life of the hereafter, he is amongst the ranks of the most righteous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Zukhruf, verse number 28, that وَجَعَلَهَا كَلِمَةً بَاقِيَةً فِي عَقِبِهِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this message of Ibrahim alayhi salam remain after him and amongst his progeny. So that is the reason why Ibrahim alayhi salam is being highlighted here. Number one, because of the virtue of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Number two, it also serves a very strategic purpose in trying to bring people closer to embracing and accepting Islam. And then in the next ayah, we talked about إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him and told him to submit. And this is, as I mentioned, this is the verb that relates to Islam, the word Islam itself. So when it comes to this, it's very important to understand that this أَسْلِمْ, right, Ibrahim alayhi salam is being commanded to accept Islam, but he's a prophet of God. Isn't he already upon the truth? Isn't he already upon Islam? So number one, through him, of course, this teaching is being given to the people. And secondly, it carries many layers and has many connotations. Okay, has many implications. Of course, Islam and Iman means to believe. Islam means to submit, to enter into the fold of the religion. And of course, one comment that needs to be made here is the differentiation between the terminology of Islam and Iman. إِذَا افْتَرَقَا اجْتَمَعَا وَإِذَا اجْتَمَعَا افْتَرَقَا. When they are used separately, they can refer to one another. But when they're both used in the same place, they have very exclusive, very particular meanings. Islam is more about entering into the fold of the religion, submitting and accepting the mandates of the religion. Iman is for that faith and that belief and that conviction and that devotion and dedication to cultivate and to grow within one's heart. All right, and this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hujurat, that there was a tribe of Bedouin people that came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, we are believers. They became Muslim and said, we are believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَتِ الْعَرَابُ عَمَنَّا. The Bedouins declared that they are believers. قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا. Tell them that you do not truly believe yet. You are not yet amongst the ranks of true believers. Sincere, strong believers. وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. Rather say, we have submitted, we have entered into the fold of Islam. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. This iman has not yet taken root within your heart. It has not yet grown within your heart. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. So that's one interesting differentiation I wanted to make. Now, coming back to the question here of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when Allah tells Ibrahim alayhi salam to submit, what does that mean? Of course, he submitted already to Allah. He's a prophet and messenger of God. All right? He is a messenger of submission. He is delivering the message of submission. So as I said, this is a very common, you know, phenomena within the Quran, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for instance, to do something, right? وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ. Establish the prayer. Of course, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is already establishing the prayer. But by commanding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is actually we're the ones who are receiving that instruction through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number two is, it also refers to acting very quickly. That if someone is truly submitted, so it's saying don't just submit, but then become true in your submission. And true submission is that Not only am I recognizing and accepting that these are the mandates and the commands from Allah, but then I'm also implementing them, executing them immediately. I make it as I have a sense of urgency about fulfilling my mandate. Secondly, it also refers to an idea of sincerity. If you're truly submitted, like when we talk about loyalty, right? If I have an enemy and my friend, I see him fraternizing, associating, affiliating with this person who is my enemy, I'll say, what kind of a friend are you? And he's like, what? There's nothing, again, there's nothing that says you can't be friends with two people. Right? There's nowhere does it say that you can only have one friend. And I'll say, yeah, but there's an issue of loyalty here. So similarly, when it comes to our devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there can be no competition for that. There can be no rivalry therein. أخلص عبادتك لله. Right? So basically, practice purity and sincerity in your loyalty and devotion to Allah. Number three, it also carries the meaning of consistency. So we've talked about quality, now consistency. Now remain steadfast on this. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. As Allah told the Prophet ﷺ in the Quran, be steadfast upon what you have been commanded to do. Alright? So these are some of the meanings that are built into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling Ibrahim alayhi salam to submit. Now, what does Ibrahim alayhi salam do? Immediately, he responds by saying, قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Indeed, I have submitted to the Lord of the worlds. Now, he could just respond by saying, I've submitted, or I've submitted to you. But he says, I've submitted to the Lord of all the worlds. Right? And that is to emphasize that that is the level of my submission that I grasp, I understand exactly whom I am submitting to. And his might and his power and his majesty. And I am humbled before him. So you see this excellence, this ihsan in the submission of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on to say here that وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِهِ. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, he impressed the significance of this upon his children. So, number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not just simply say he informed, he taught, he commanded, but he used the word wasiyah, which means like a dying request, a last request that is made of someone. Like writing something into your will. That if nothing else, do not forget this. So that shows the importance that he placed upon it. That he did it with great significance and importance. That this is very, very important. Number two, he imparted this advice to his children. And once, and again, he's a prophet and messenger of Allah, so he gave that advice to all of humanity. But Allah specifically is mentioning that he had an exclusive discussion about this with his own children. And this, once again, I talked about this earlier, this highlights the fact that caring and being invested into the well-being of those that are closest to us is not contradictory or contrary to Islam or the character of prophethood. In fact, it is an essential part and component of it. خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that the best amongst you is the one who is the best of their families. And I am indeed the best to my family. قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِكُمْ نَارًا. As Allah says, save yourselves and your families from the fire of hell. Protect you, yourself and your families from the fire of hell. So showing that prioritization and that emphasis being placed upon the people that are closest to us in our relationship with them. Thirdly, it also says, Ya Baniya. He's addressing all of his children generally. He's not playing favorites amongst them, but he's sharing it generally with all of them. And that shows, number one, that what I'm giving to you here is very important. All of you need it. And number two, it also, once again, shows the ethics of even parenting. That you make sure that none of your children feel discarded or neglected or deprived in any way. The next very interesting thing here is that he emphasized this. And he said, "Inna Allah safa lakum ad-din." God has chosen this religion of submission, Islam, for you. He didn't say now, or when you grow up, or in the future, or until further notice. No, he left it very open and general. Because the most important thing for someone, no matter what phase of their life they're in, is their spiritual well-being. Even when children are small, where they are not obligated, they do not have liability in the religion, they do not have taklif, they're not mukallaf, right? They're not mandated and obligated by anything. But even then, their spiritual well-being is still very important. The spirituality of their parents and the people around them and the people raising them has a huge impact on them. Teaching them early on to have a spiritual connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In youth, when a person becomes a young adult, the religion is the most important thing. That's why on the Day of Judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَزَالُ قَدْمَا إِبْنُ آدَمَ حَتَّى يُسَلَ عَنْ أَرْبَعٍ, that the feet of a person will not move from their place until they're asked about four things, they're questioned about four things specifically. عَنْ عُمْرِهِ فِيمَا أَفْنَى, how did you use the lifetime you were given? وَعَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِيمَا أَبْلَى, in your youthful years, where did you invest those? And then when a person reaches their middle age, where they're responsible for other people now, for themselves and for the sake of the people they're responsible for. And then when a person reaches old age, when they're about to leave and depart from this world, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِينَ مَنْ كَانَ آخِرُ كَلَامِ لَا إِلَّهِ لَلَّهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ, that actions are based off of their conclusions. Whosoever's last words are is the name of Allah, whoever's last words are La ilaha illallah, that person has entered paradise. So he's not putting any kind of a time limit and a stipulation on this. And that's why he says that فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. That's why live constantly in a state of submission, so that whenever death comes to you, you are a Muslim. You are submitted to Allah. And the last point here that I want to emphasize about him giving this advice, notice that when he's advising them about the religion and he's advising them to remain submitted to Allah and to keep firm with their deen and their religion, he does not include any other advice over here. Because this is so important, this needs to be a discussion in and of itself. I do not want to bring up anything else here which could distract or conflate this in any way. But you need to focus on this, solely and only on this. So very, very powerful. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. So do not leave this world except that you are in a state of submission. And some of the scholars, they write about this. Imam Ar-Razi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says about this. He says that بعثهم على فالمراد بعثهم على الإسلام وذلك لأن الرجل إذا لم يأمن الموت في كل طرفة عين ثم إنه أمر بأن يأتي بالشيء قبل الموت صار مأمورا به في كل حال. Because we fundamentally don't know when we're going to die, when we're going to leave this world, telling someone to die in a state of Islam is basically telling them to always remain in a state of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, we know that whatever condition someone dies in is how they will be resurrected. So if we die in a state of submission to Allah, we shall be resurrected in a state of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And something that's very interesting and beautiful is that good leads to more good. Right? Good begets more good. And this is exactly, and bad and evil begets more evil, leads to bad things. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says so beautifully in the Quran, that فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. That whoever gives charity and is conscious of God and practices, you know, truthfulness and excellence in their deen and in their religion with Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will make more good, we shall facilitate more good for that person. وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى. And whosoever is stingy and they disassociate themselves from their relationships and they reject the truth, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. Then we will make more evil come into their way. They will become more inclined towards evil. And we will open the doors of more wretchedness and evil for them and hardship. So we see that when somebody lives a life of submission to Allah and they can focus on this thing, and it might seem like, well, what about all the other obligations and tenets of the religion? Focus on this one thing, submission to Allah, loyalty to Allah, devotion and dedication to Allah. Confirm that one thing, and that one thing will lead to many, many other things. All the other good will basically stem and come and be born out of that one good thing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this submission to Allah, this is literally the base and the foundation of our religion, Islam. Inna deena inda Allahi al-Islam. As Allah says, that the only acceptable religion in the eyes of God is Islam. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That whoever tries to seek out any other religion other than Islam, it shall not be accepted from him. And that person in the life of the hereafter will be from those who are doomed and ruined. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us firm on our Islam. This is what's built into our fitrah, our essential and integral nature, kind of like what can be referred to our quintessential nature. Submission to Allah, the recognizing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's very important to maintain that and to work on that and to preserve that and come back to that by connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that submission to Allah is dignity. لَنْ يَسْتَنْكِفَ الْمَسِيحُ أَنْ يَكُونَ عَبْدًا لِلَّهِ وَلَا الْمَلَائِكَةُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. The Prophet Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, never found it beneath himself, below him, to be a servant of God. And nor do the great angels of Allah find it beneath themselves or below them to be the servants of Allah, to be submitted to Allah, to be in submission to Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam is Khalilullah. Our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is Habibullah, the friend of God, the beloved of Allah. Right? And how did they acquire that status? Through submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, shall I not be a grateful slave of my Lord? And this idea of submission is echoed throughout our deen and religion. In Surah An-Nisa, Surah number 4, Ayah number 65, Allah says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ. That these people are wrong. Rather, God swears by himself. لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. These people will never truly be believers. حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُكَ. Until they embrace the authority, your authority, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, فِيمَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. In the matters that they differ in. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. And then they do not find a problem within themselves from accepting your verdict and your decision. حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And they always remain submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely and totally. So this is the study for today, the lesson for today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us true submission to Allah. which, as we talked about, Allah grant us the ability to accept the obligations and the mandates of the religion. Number two, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to develop and cultivate our faith and our iman. Number three, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be swift and quick in implementing the obligations of this religion and what this religion requires of us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be sincere and pure in our worship of Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us firm and consistent upon Islam in our submission to Allah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to die, leave this world, whenever that is, wherever that is, however that is. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to leave this world with Iman, with Islam, submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakum Allah khairan. Barakallahu feekum. I wanted to mention something for everyone's benefit, inshaAllah. A program that we have been doing for a long time here at Qalam. And it's, alhamdulillah, a very beneficial program. I feel very blessed to be involved with it and a part of it. It's called the Seerah Intensive, where every single year in the winter break, we would have this intensive, really focused and high, you know, very intensive program with a lot of depth and a lot of very beneficial material. We've been doing this for many, many years. So, alhamdulillah, currently we are in the situation that we're in. Nonetheless, we wanted to still have the Seerah Intensive for the benefit of the community and everyone out there. So inshallah, bi-idhnillah, we're not going to let the pandemic stand in our way. We're still going to be having the Seerah Intensive, inshallah, this year. And we'll be doing it online. So no matter where someone is, you have the ability to be able to participate in the program, sign up for the program, and benefit from the program, inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So I wanted to share the information with everyone. If you go to qalamintensives.com, qalamintensives.com, I've shared the link for those who are watching online. If you go to qalamintensives.com, there you'll find the information on the Seerah Intensive online. It says there very clearly. Go there, check out the program, inshallah. I'm certain that you'll find the program to be very beneficial. And so, inshallah, for the first time, we'll be doing it online. We're very excited about it. We think that this will be something very beneficial, inshallah, for everyone in the community. So go to the link, check out the program. We hope that, inshallah, you'll join us. Something very cool that we have at the Seerah Intensive is we also have a part of the program for children, for kids. Seerah Intensive for kids. So I know that many of the kids are home, and so this will be a beautiful opportunity for kids to be able to benefit as well, inshallah. So please go there and check it out. And we're really looking forward to the program. Jazakum Allah khairan. Barakallahu feekum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.